طيب بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. Today this is our 12th session reading from Arabic lessons in fifth Al-Mustawa Thalith, third level Islamic University of Medina Arabic Language Institute. The lesson that we started last week as we were completing matters related to Al-Mas Al-Khufayn, wiping over the socks. In the end of the class, we had a few minutes remaining, and we started the new lesson that is Sifatul Wudu, and we just read through it. So today we want to return to Sifatul Wudu and make a few other points and maybe read some hadith that go with this topic and clarify some details that we didn't have a chance to clarify last week. Before we read, I want to remind us that in reference to the description of wudu last week, I did read from Kitab al-Umm, and I just want to repeat it today for the benefit of anybody who wasn't here last week, from Kitab al-Umm, which is a very, very important book of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah. He said in that book, قال الشافعي رحمه الله قال الله عز وجل وأيديكم إلى المرافق and your hands, and wash your hands up to the elbows, Surah Ma'idah, 5th Surah, 6th Ayat, فَلَمْ أَعْلَمْ مُخَالِفًا فِيَنَّ الْمَرَافِقْ مِمَّا يُغْسَلْ Imam Shafi says, I don't know that there's anybody who has a different opinion than that the murafiq is part of what has to be washed. إِلَى الْمَرَافِقْ means including the elbows. وَكَأَنَّهُمْ ذَهَبُوا إِلَى أَنَّ مَعْنَاهَا فَاغْسِلُوا وُجُوهَكُمْ وَأَيْدِيَكُمْ إِلَى أَن تَغْسِلَ الْمَرَافِقْ Imam Shafi is saying, it is as though that their view, meaning the scholars before him, their view is that ذَهَبُوا their madhab is that the meaning of this ayat is wash your faces and your hands إِلَى أَن تَغْسِلَ الْمَرَافِقْ up to and including the washing of the elbows. What is the shahid or the point that I want to mention in this topic where Imam Shafi is talking about the wudu and the washing of the hands up to and including the elbows? What I want to mention is what he says after that, and that is وَلَا يُجْزِي فِي غَسْلِي الْيَدَيْنِ أَبَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يُؤْتَى عَلَى مَا بَيْنَ أَطْرَافِ الْأَصَابِعِ إِلَى أَنْ تَغْسِلَ الْمَرَافِقِ Imam Shafi says, and it will not be sufficient, it will not suffice to fulfill the requirement of washing the two hands, لَا يُجْزِي فِي غَسْلِي الْيَدَيْنِ أَبَدًا except that the person washes ما بين أطراف الأصابع أطراف الأصابع إلى أن تغسل المرافق unless that they wash everything that is between the extremities of the fingers and up to and including the washing of the elbows, meaning that the washing of the hands in wudu means you have to wash from the tips of the fingers, the whole hand, past the wrist, up to the forearm, up to the elbow and including the elbows. This is what Al-Imam al-Shafi says. And then he says, وَلَا يُجْزِي, just to emphasize the point, وَلَا يُجْزِي إِلَّا أَن يُؤْتَى بِالْغَسْلِ عَلَى الظَّاهِرِ الْيَدَيْنِ وَبَاطِنِهِمَا وَحُرُوفِهَا حَتَّى يَنْقَضَى غَسْلُهُمَا And it will not be sufficient, it will not fulfill the requirement of washing the hands, except that you wash the ظَاهِرُ الْيَدَيْنِ وَبَاطِنِهِمَا the outer part of the hands and the inner part of the hands, the palms, and the حُرُوف, the sides of the hands, until you complete and finish, the washing of both of them, the hands. So here Al-Imam al-Shafi is saying here in Al-Umm, and this is what I wanted to repeat for us, he's saying that the washing of the hands means up to and including the elbows, and it also includes the hand itself, starting from the fingertips. Not as some people imagine, that since they already washed their hands three times in the beginning of wudu, since they already washed their hands three times, then now they're going to wash their hands from their wrists up to the elbows. This is very common. If you just go in the wudu station of any masjid, you'll find people washing their hands from their wrists. And the washing of the hands is from the fingertips up to and including the elbows. Okay, that's one point I wanted to make. And there was another point also, but anyway, maybe for now, we'll suffice with this.
طيب.
Let's go back to reading of the description of al-wudu, and then yeah, there's another point, very important point when we discuss wudu. We didn't, yeah, about the washing the mouth and the nose separately or together and how it is done. Okay, so in sifat al-wudu, may I use this chair?
Yes.
This is in Bab, yeah, in page 21, from Kitab al-Tahara, yeah. Kitab al-Tahara, page 21, yes, on page 21. The title is Sifat al-Wudu. Oh, you know, the pages may be different. Yeah, because I think you have a different printed copy. Okay, so, I mean, why don't you sit next to somebody? Also, I need, yeah, who wants to volunteer to read? Come. Is that somebody's instrument there? Is it on or is it okay? What about that one? Did somebody forget it? Okay. Musa, you can read some of this for us, inshallah, as we read again and translate, and then we're going to look at some points. Now, sifatu wudu, naam.
Sifatu al-wudu'i.
Naam. Yani meaning? Anybody? The description of ablution. Al-wudu, ablution. Naam.
Al-wudu'u al-kamilu al-sabighu.
Naam, stop there. Al-wudu al-kamil al-sabil. Meaning?
Complete, proficient,
thorough, perfect wudu. Yani al-wudu al-kamil, complete and perfect. Al-sabil means, yani full, complete, perfect. Yani full, thorough, complete wudu. Huwa, naam.
An-yanwi al-wudu'a.
Yani an-yanwiya. Al-wudu'a. An yanwi' al-wudu'a. Yani, it is that you, what? Make intention. An yanwi' al-wudu'a. That you intend al-wudu'a. After that?
Wa-niyyatu mahalluha al-qalbu.
This is very important. And the intention is places in the heart. Mahalluha, mahal an-niyya al-qalb. It's not talaffuz. Yani, something that you express bil-lisan. But the person has the intention in their heart. And they're intending to make wudu, yani, for the purpose of worship. Naam.
Thumma yusammi, thumma yaghsilu kaffayhi thalathan.
Naam. Thumma yusammi, meaning? Tasmiyah. You say Bismillah, not as in some books they find. They said, say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. That's Basmala. Yani, you Basmila. Naam. This is yusammi tasmiya. Yani samma yusammi tasmiya means to mention the name of Allah. So the person intends in their heart to make ablution. And then they mention the name of Allah. This is what? The wudu al kamil al sabiqu. Naam.
Thumma yatamadmado.
Go back a little bit. Okay. After yusamma. Thumma yaghsilu kafayhi thalathan. Naam. Okay, the meaning of thumma yaghsilu kaffayhi thalathan. Kaffay here means the hand up to the wrist. And al-yad has various meanings, but kaff, it means up to the wrist. So it means kaffayhi, yani al-kaffayn. Kaffayn, yani with noon being omitted because of idafa. كفيه ثم يغسل يديه I'm sorry ثم يغسل كفيه ثلاثا then he washes the two palms يعني hands up to the wrist three times نعم
ثم يتمضمض
ويستنشق نعم
ويستنفر ثلاثا
نعم ثم يتمضمض يعني here the printing is wrong right there's an extra letter here the last letter on the end of this word should be omitted ثم يَتَمَضْمَضُ should stop there. The word, the letter after that is printing error. ثُمَّ يَتَمَضْمَضُ ويستنشق وعليكم السلام ويستنثر ثلاثا. Then he does what? تمضمضه means rinsing, cleaning the mouth with water. ويستنشق استنشاق means sniffing water up into the nose. ويستنثر استنثار means blowing it out. Sniffing it up, blowing it out. يعني استنشاق is sniffing water into the nose and استنثار is blowing it out of the nose. Notice that he said here, ثم يتمضمض ويستنشق ويستنثر ثلاثا. يعني he did these three things together. He didn't make ثم ثم. Now he did this, took water in the mouth, water into the nose, blew it out. يعني all as one process, three times. He did all of that once, then he did all of those things twice, and then he did them a third time. Meaning he rinsed the mouth and the nose with one handful of water three different times. Now.
ثم يغسل وجهه ثلاثا.
نعم. ثم يغسل وجهه. Again, there's a printing mistake here. The هو in وجهه. It looks like there's a تار مبوتة there. It should be two has. وجهه ثلاثا. ثم يغسل وجهه ثلاثا. Meaning? Then he washes his face three times. And of course, by face we mean here, as we discussed earlier in another class, it means from ear to ear and from the head, the hair foreline to the chin. And that means the whole of the face. Then he washed the whole of the face three times. Now.
ثم يغسل يديه مع مرفقيه ثلاثا.
يعني ثم يغسل يديه مع مرفقيه ثلاثا. Meaning? Then he washes two, literally his two hands, but we mean the whole of his arm along with his two elbows. ثم يغسل يديه. يعني originally يديه is يدين, right? The مثنى, dual form, meaning two hands. And then because of the إضافة, the نون is deleted because it's مضاف to he, يديه. And we said that in Arabic language, يد in Arabic language has three meanings. It means the hand up to the wrist, or the hand, يعني from the fingertips up to the elbow, or it means from the fingertips up to the shoulder. Those are three meanings. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala specifies in the ayat of wudu that the hand here that he's talking about, aydikum, it means, he's meaning ila al-marafiq. So that's the second meaning of hand, up to the elbows. And here, يعني in this description, يغسل يديه مع مرفقيه, is because as Al-Imam al-Shafi said, and Al-Imam ibn Al-Hafidh ibn Kathir also said in his tafsir of the Quran of this ayat, that ila al-mirfaqihi or ila al-marafiq, it means up to and including the elbows. So he washed his hands ma'a mirfaqihi, up to and including his two elbows, three times.
Yatamadmadu. The next word is
ويستنشقوا. Yes. Okay, also there's a misprint here. It should be yes, yani seen with sukoon, ta with fatha instead of sukoon. Yani they have ta on the seen and sukoon on the ta. It should be the reverse. It should be sukoon on the seen and fatha on the ta. Fatha on the ta. يستنشقوا. And يستنثروا. فيكم بارك الله. Okay. After that, he washes his hands, including the elbows, three times. نعم.
ثم يمسح جميع رأسه من حد الوجه إلى قفاه.
إلى قفاه.
إلى قفاه. ويرد المسح.
يرد المسح.
المسح.
نعم المسح.
ويرد المسح من قفاه إلى وجهه.
نعم. ثم يمسح. يمسح means what? To wipe. Now we came to wiping. In between washing we came to المس. ثم يمسح جميع رأسه. Then he will wipe the whole of his head. And this is also some discussion about, does he have to just wash يعني just a part of the head or the whole of the head. And in one of the hadith, it became clear you have to wash the whole of the head. Inshallah, we're going to read that hadith also today, بإذن الله تعالى. The hadith about the wiping of the whole of the head. جميع رأسه. Because some of the madhab have the opinion that as long as you wipe part of the head, then it's okay. When in fact, you have to wipe the whole of the head. Unless you're wearing a turban, which is permissible to wipe over the turban. يعني wipe the forelock, the first part of the head, and finish by wiping over the imamah. In any case, جميع رأسه, then he wipes over the whole of his head, من حد الوجه. يعني what does it mean of حد الوجه? The border of the face. يعني the border of the face, يعني the border of the face means يعني where the face ends and the head starts. That's where the wiping over the head starts, at the borderline of the face, where the face ends and the head starts. Okay, حد الوجه إلى قفاه, to the his قفاه, the neck, يعني the nape of the neck, يعني to the place where the head ends and the neck starts. يعني where the head ends, that's where you stop wiping. You don't wipe the neck. As in some of the books, they found wiping the neck, rather the border, the limit of the head is at the neck, where the head meets the neck. Came in the hadith of Anas. Now the Prophet قَبَضَ قَفَى, yeah. He grabbed me by the back, يعني, of my neck, مِنْ وَرَائِي, from behind me. Now قَفَى means the, يعني, the neck. طيب, جميع رأسي من حد الوجه, يعني from the wiping over the head is from where the boundary of the face ends and the head starts, إلى قفاه, يعني to the end of the head where it meets the neck. ويرد المسح من قفاه إلى وجهه. And then the wiping, يعني, returns from the, يعني, point where the head meets the neck, from the end of the head where it meets the neck, it returns, يعني, from there, إلى وجهه, يعني, until the place where the head meets the face again, يعني, to the limit of the head, it stops there, يعني, where the head meets the face. نعم, ثم
يدخل
أو يدخل,
يدخل,
يعني, from أدخل يدخل, he enters.
ثم يدخل سبابتيه في سماخي,
سماخي, يعني مثنى,
في سماخي أذنيه ويمسح بإبهاميه ظاهرا ظاهرهما.
نعم, يعني ثم يدخل سبابتيه. سبابتيه, يعني سبابتين means the two forefingers, index fingers. ثم يدخل, this is the verb from أدخل, باب أفعل, يعني he didn't enter, he caused something to enter. ثم يدخل سبابتيه, يعني سبابتين dual, two index fingers, the noon is deleted because of إضافة. في سماخي, سماخي, يعني سماخ, يعني سماخ means the inner, يعني parts of the ears, inside, not into the canal, sticking your finger in, but in the part that your fingers can touch inside, the grooves or the curves of the ear. سماخي dual, يعني the noon is deleted because it's مضاف to أذني. And أذني also originally is أذنين, two ears, the noon is deleted because of إضافة to he. So we have سماخي, يعني the inner grooves of the أذني, of his two ears. نعم, ويمسح بإبهاميه. إبهامي, originally إبهامين, and إبهامان means the two thumbs. إبهامان, or here B because it's مجرور, بإبهامين, نون is deleted because of إضافة. يعني then he wipes with his two thumbs, ظاهرهما, يعني the outside of the two of them, of the two ears. He wipes the outside with the thumbs, meaning the inside with the index finger and the curves and the grooves of the ear, and the outside with the two thumbs. نعم.
ثم يغسل رجليه مع كعبيه ثلاثا.
ثم يغسل رجليه, يعني رجليه هي originally رجلين مثنى. The noon is deleted because of إضافة. يعني this, what's the rule here? We said that just as the تنوين of the مفرد word like رجل or يعني باب, if you put it إضافة with another word, باب became باب البيتي. Right? So just as the noon from the تنوين is deleted from a مفرد, likewise the مثنى loses its noon when it's put in إضافة. Okay, so all of these words are مثنى words, يعني that يعني because of the إضافة to his two ears, his two forefingers, his two thumbs, his two feet, يعني all of them are dual words, but because of his, يعني being يعني the pronoun who is being connected as مضاف إليه, so the noon is deleted from each of these words. That's why you have أذنيه and سبابتيه and إبهاميه and here رجليه. ثم يغسل رجليه, he washes his two feet مع. Okay, this is a printing mistake again, it's just a ميم there, it should be ميم and عين. مع كعبيه and again the same thing, كعبين, نون is deleted because of إضافة, يعني along with his two يعني ankles. ثلاثا نعم. نعم, go ahead, finish. نعم.
فإن اقتصر في الغسل على واحدة
واحدة
على واحدة واقتصر على,
بس حمزة الوصل واقتصر
واقتصر على الأركان
يعني
الفروض أجزأه ولكن العمل بسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكمل وأفضل.
Okay. نعم. No, hold it. We're gonna come back a little bit. I got a couple of issues here. فإن اقتصر في الغسل على واحدة. يعني the meaning. Okay, go ahead. Translate.
To one time.
يعني if the person is making wudu, instead of washing the hands three times and washing the feet three times and washing the face three times. فإن اقتصر, اقتصر يعني اقتصار means he limited, he did the bare minimum. If he limited himself in the washing to one time, يعني واحدة, يعني one washing, واقتصر على الأركان, and if he limited himself in reference to the أركان, يعني the pillars of wudu, meaning the furud, meaning the obligatory parts. And what are the obligations of wudu? What are they, by the way? What are the arkan or the furud of wudu?
The face,
including the whole of it, mouth and nose.
The hands,
up to and including the elbows, yeah. From the fingertips to the elbows. That's two.
Wiping
the head, the whole of it, from front to back and back again.
Washing the feet,
yani the whole of them, up to and including the ankles. Anything else? At-tartib. التارتيب, نعم, they have to be done in order. الموالات, يعني they have to be done successively without a long break in between any one, such that يعني the previous member of the body dries up before you wash the next one. Now,
so when you say wash the face,
now,
are you saying the face, the nose?
We're saying that it's obligatory to wash the face. But we are explaining that washing the face means the whole face, and part of the face is the nose and mouth. They also have to be done. Yani, in the order of the sunnah, the mouth and nose should be done, and then the rest of the face. Now, we're going to read hadith, inshallah, concerning this. Also, today, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Okay, so So if the person limits themselves to one washing of those parts of the body that wash three times, and if they limit themselves to the furud, these matters that we just mentioned, which are obligatory, ajza'ahu, meaning, yani he will be rewarded, he will be accredited, yani he will be given credit for having performed wudu. Even if he only washed the parts one time, he gets credit for making wudu. That means that wudu is valid. It's a valid wudu. Ajza'a means, yani, the meaning of ajza'a means that it's sufficient for the act to be considered valid. That's the meaning of it. You get credit for having done it. Okay? Mabni al-majhul? No, it's not mabni. No, it's from bab af'ala. Ajza'a. From bab, it's the past tense verb, the normal form, ajza'a. Yani ajza'a, meaning that act, ajza'a, it's correct, it's valid, it became valid. The act itself, yani, is credit, it's valid. Now, ولكن العمل بسنة النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أكمل وأفضل. The word amal, what is the i'rab of amal here? Al-amal? No, yeah, al-amal, na'am. Is ism lakin or ism lakinna?
Kinna al-amal.
Yani, I read it, walakin al-amal. Yani, lakin is not from akhawatu inna. But if you say, walakinna, in that case, then it will be mansub. If you read it, lakinna, and it doesn't appear as though it's lakinna, otherwise they should have put shaddo on there. But if we read it as lakinna, then al-amal will be mansub, yani, because al-amal will be ism, yani lakinna. And lakin is from akhawatu inna. But if it's lakin without shadda, then lakin is not from akhawatu inna. Okay, so pay attention that the meaning here, yani, it could possibly be read as lakinna, but it's more likely that it's walakin al-amalu. Walakin al-amalu. But if we read it as lakinna, and even akhawatu inna, naam, then we can say, yani, it could be mansub. No, it's not exactly the same meaning, no. And it's close to the meaning, but it depends on how you're using it here. It seems as though the meaning is not with shadda. Yani it's lakin al-amal. Yani if you read it as lakin na'am, then in that case it will be mansub. But in any case, the meaning is not, it's not going to change the meaning here, because the point is that if a person only washes one time, or if they only do those things which are obligatory, and if they left out other things that are not obligatory, then, yani, in that case, yani, it will be, yani, valid. The wudu will be valid. However, yani al-amal bi sunnati nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam akmalu wa afdalu. However, yani, acting upon, yani, practicing, performing the wudu, Al-amal bi sunnati nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani acting upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is akmal wa afdal, meaning it's more complete or perfect, and it is better, it is, yani, preferable, it is more excellent. Okay, here I want to mention a few hadith, but first I'm going to read, yani, some comments concerning the matter of the mouth and the nose. Okay, na'am. This is from Mishkat, yani the checking tahqiq of Mishkat al-Musabi. Musa, if you want to take your place, you may take your place. Otherwise, you can stay in that little chair if you like, no problem. Whatever you're more comfortable with. I wanted you to be near, because the sisters complained one time that when somebody's reading, then they don't hear it good. So I wanted you to come close so that they can hear the reading. There's always a reason for something, okay? So, yani, in the checking of Sheikh al-Albani, rahimahullah, yani, of Mishkat al-Masabi, this is a very famous book of hadith that's worth yani having in your library. This is a book that you need to have. Even if you have Bukhari, you have Muslim, okay, no problem. You need to have them too. This is a book you need to have. Al-Mishkat. You know?
All Mishkats.
No, I want the one, the checking of Sheikh Al-Albani. As far as the English translations, each one of them have some benefit, but what I'm talking about is the checking of Sheikh Al-Albani, Arabic edition of Mishkat. Okay, the Sheikh says, he mentioned, there came a hadith that is muttafaqun alayh, and agreed upon as being sahih by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. قيل لعبد الله بن زيد بن عاصم توضأ لنا وضوء رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. It was said to Abdul ibn Zayd ibn Asim, make ablution like the ablution of the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم. فمضمض واستنشق من كف واحدة ففعل ذلك ثلاثا. So he washed the mouth and the nose from one palm, with one hand of water, and he did that three times. The mouth and the nose. From one palm, he put water into the mouth, and he put water into the nose. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh. Sheikh Al-Albani says, concerning this, in the footnote for this hadith, that's the point I want to make, qala Sheikh Al-Albani, وَفِيهِ in this hadith is حُجَّةٌ للإمام الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى أن الوصل بين المضمضة والاستنشاق أولى وأحب من الفصل من الفصل. شيخ الألباني said فيه in this hadith of عبد الله بن زيد رضي الله عنه فيه حجة للإمام الشافعي رحمه الله تعالى. In it is a what? A proof, a strong حجة for Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah, anna, in his opinion, anna al-wasla bayn al-madmada wal-istinshaq awla wa habbu min al-fasli. The connecting the mouth and the nose in washing is more, is preferable, is preferred, is awla. And it is ahabbu, and it is more beloved than al-fasli. Then doing them separately. Doing the mouth first and then doing the nose with separate water. This is what Sheikh Al-Albani said. So two points from this. One, that this is the opinion of Sheikh of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, that this is better, it's more preferable, and it is more beloved. That you do the mouth and nose together with one handful of water. As mentioned in the hadith of Abdul Ibn Zayd, he said that was the practice of the Prophet ﷺ. Hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. Sheikh Al-Albani said, this is the opinion of Al-Imam Shafi, and this hadith is a proof for Imam Shafi that to do it like this is awla. It is more befitting, it's more suitable that you should do it like this, and it is also ahab. Naam.
Who did they say, did they ask to perform
it? Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim. I don't know if I sent it out. This particular hadith, I don't know if I sent it out. But in any case, that's what Sheikh Al-Albani said there. In another footnote, Sheikh Al-Albani says, وَقَالَ أَيْدًا قُلْتُ, and he also said, I say, وَهَذِهِ مِنَ السُنَّةِ الثَّابِتَةِ عَنْهُ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ فِي كَيْفِيَةِ الْمَضْمَضَةِ وَالْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ. يعني أن يتمضمض ويستنشق من غرفة واحدة يأخذ نصفها للفم ونصفها للأنف يفعل ذلك ثلاثا. Sheikh Al-Albani goes further in explaining this hadith, giving details of his description. He said, also I say, وهذه من السنة الثابتة anhu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is from the established confirmed sunnah from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, fi kayfiyati al-madmada wa istinshaq, in how he did the washing of the mouth and the nose. This is from the confirmed sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, specifically what? An yatamadmada wa istinshaqa min ghurfatin wahidatin, that a person cleanse the mouth and the nose from one handful. غرفة يعني واحدة من كف واحد. يعني كف واحدة. يعني from one handful of water, he washes the mouth and nose. Specifically, he explains it in more detail in case it's not clear. يأخذ نصفها للفم ونصفها للأنف. And he takes half of that water in that palm of hand, that palm handful of water. He takes half of it into the mouth and the other half into the nose. يفعل ذلك ثلاثا. And he does this three times. Sheikh al-Albani goes on to say, ولكن الفصل أيضا ورد بإسناد صحيح. ولكن الفصل يعني separating between the mouth and nose and washing is also narrated بإسناد صحيح. Sheikh al-Albani said بإسناد صحيح. And then he mentions this hadith وعن أبي حية رضي الله عنه قال رحمه الله قال رأيت عليا يتوضع فغسل كفيه حتى أنقاهما ثم تمضمض ثلاثا واستنشق ثلاثا وغسل وجهه ثلاثا ثم قال أحببت أن أريكم كيف كان يعني طهور رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم narrated by الترمذي والنسائي وقال شيخ الألباني رحمه الله هذا حديث حسن صحيح. Okay, this is the end of my commentary here. يعني شيخ الألباني is saying what? That yes, this is the confirmed sunnah from the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and this is أولى and أحبّ as Al-Imam al-Shafi'i said. However, the fussel between them has also been narrated with the isnad that's sahih from Abi Hayya. He said, I saw Ali يعني performing ablution and he washed the palms of his hands until he washed them thoroughly and then he rinsed his mouth three times. And then he rinsed his nose, cleaned his nose three times and he washed his face three times and then he said, I wanted to show you how was the purification of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaykh al-Albani said, this hadith reported by al-Tirmidhi al-Nasa'i is Hasanun Sahihun. Naam. 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 It may be difficult teaching children. It may be difficult teaching adults who are new Muslims. This is what I found, that teaching adults, yani who are new Muslims, teaching them how to make wudu and telling them to do the nose and the mouth at the same time is difficult. People find difficulty. Some people who are not new Muslims find difficulty in doing it until now. Naam. So that was really the benefit of mentioning this comment of Shaykh al-Albani. To say what? That the wasl is awla. Because this is the confirmed sunnah from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the last thing that he was known to have done. And it's narrated from most of the narrations came with the connection, yani joining between the washing of the mouth and nose together from one handful of water three times. So that's awla. It's more right that you should do that. However, it has been authentically narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he did do the fasl, yani that he separated between them, which means that it's permissible. Which means that it's permissible. So if a person had difficulty, they have an option. But what is better and more beloved and yani awla is that they should join them together. And of course, depending on their age, if they're children, then you know you try to show them how to do it. If they can do it, alhamdulillah. If they can't, then give them an option. If they're adults, we should explain to them that this is better and you should keep trying until you get it. I mean, I don't remember how difficult it was. I don't really remember it, you know. But we didn't always know about this sunnah. And in the beginning, 50 years ago, we didn't know about any joining between mouth and nose. Nobody in New York City taught anybody anything about rinsing the mouth and nose together. We don't know that existed. Not even in the masjid of the people of sunnah. Because this is the masjid of the people of sunnah 50 years ago. Or 40 years ago. And nobody knew about this then. Nobody knew about it. Forget about the other masjids. They don't even care about the sunnah. The majority of the books? Most of the books mention it separate. Most of the books. Even until now, unless it's from the people of Sunnah who are explaining these details. We have a lot of hadith to read, brothers. Okay, go ahead. Make a point. No.
I was saying, like you said in the beginning, years ago, you know, people were afraid that they would, you know, choke themselves when they suck at the
door.
But after a while, we all learned, like years ago, that there's a couple of times I got used to it.
Yeah.
And it didn't bother me. You didn't go up and, you know.
Yeah. So I mean, it does. Maybe it takes some practice in the beginning when a person is learning how to make wudu. But yani, afterwards, yani, once a person knows and you try to do it, inshallah, there's no problem. Anyway, I'm gonna read some hadith to you from Bulugh al-Maram. I'm not gonna read from Mishkat because maybe we don't have Mishkat. We have Bulugh al-Maram. Everybody in the class should have it. We sent the PDF file explanation of Sheikh Safi al-Rahman and Mubarak Fouri. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. حول ولا قوة. I may have sent a reminder about these hadith from the Bab al-Wudu from Bulugh al-Maram, explanation and a commentary by Sheikh Safi al-Rahman, rahimahullah. In any case, I'd like to read a few of these hadith, but I want you to go back and look at these hadith. Most of them are authentic hadith. Most of them are authentic hadith. There are a few that are not, but for the most part, they're authentic hadith. And there are a lot of benefits in these hadith. And it's a long section, you know, and a lot of hadith under the chapter of wudu. We're going to read a few of them just quickly in whatever time we have remaining. I'm reading from page 20 from Bulugh al-Maram with the commentary of Sheikh Safi al-Rahman. The fourth chapter from Kitab al-Tahara, Bab al-Wudu. The first hadith, I'm going to skip. And it's hadith number 29. The Prophet ﷺ said that if it had not been a hardship on his ummah, he would have ordered us with siwak, with every wudu. And in some narrations, mentioned with every salat. The second hadith I want to read, very, very important hadith. Hadith number 30, an Humran, yani Ibn Aban, Humran, the Mawla of Uthman. The Mawla of Uthman. رضي الله تعالى عنه أن Uthman دعا بوضوء فغسل كفيه ثلاث مرات. يعني this is the hadith that some of the scholars say is the most complete and thorough description of the wudu of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. Humran, he says, يعني the servant, freed slave of Uthman, he said that Uthman called for wudu, يعني some water for ablution, the water of ablution. فَغَسَلَ كَفَّهِ ثَلَاثَ مَرَّةٍ. He washed his palms, his hands, up to his wrist, three times. ثُمَّ تَمَضْمَضَ وَاسْتَنْشَقَ وَاسْتَنْثَرَ. Then he rinsed his mouth, took water into his nose, and blew it out. And in some of the narrations says, ثَلَاثًا ثُمَّ غَسَلَ وَجْهَهُ. Then he washed his face, ثَلَاثَ مَرَّةٍ. Yani three times. ثُمَّ غَسَلَ يَدَهُ الْيُمْنَى إِلَى الْمَرَافِقِ. Then he washed his right hand up to the elbow three times. ثم اليسرى مثل ذلك. Then the left hand in the same way like that. ثم مسح برأسه. Then he wiped over his head. And this ba here led some of the scholars of the Sunnah in their madhab to understand that برأسه, which is not the correct view, and it means a part of the head and not the whole of the head. It led some of them to understand that from the ayah in the Quran using ba. In any case, the correct opinion is the whole of the head. مَسَى بِرَأْسِهِ. Then he wiped his head. ثُمَّ غَسَلَ رِجْلَهُ الْيُمْنَى. Then he washed his right foot, إِلَى الْكَعْبَيْنِ, up to the ankles, ثَلَاثَ مَرَّاتٍ, three times, ثُمَّ الْيُسْرَ مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ, and then the left foot like that. يعني meaning the whole of the foot up to and including the ankles. ثُمَّ قَالَ رَأَيْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَوَضَّأَ نَحْوُ وُضُوءِ هَذَا. And then he said, I saw the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم performing ablution like wudu'i هذا, like my wudu, this wudu of mine. مُتَّفَكٌ عَلَيْهِ. The next hadith, the hadith of Ali, يعني, in his description of wudu, he said he wiped over his head one time. The next hadith, hadith number 32, is the hadith of Abdul ibn Zayd ibn Asim, yani the hadith that Shaykh al-Albani referred to from Mishkat, I mean that he commented on in Mishkat, the hadith of Zayd ibn Abdullah ibn Abdullah ibn Zayd ibn Asim, radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, fi sifat al-wudu, in his description of wudu, yani this is part of the description, na'am, radiyallahu anhuma, na'am. طيب. In his description of the wudu of the Prophet ﷺ, we just, like here, this hadith is in reference to the detailed description of how the Prophet ﷺ wiped over his head. He said, مَسَحَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ ﷺ بِرَأْسِهِ. يعني the Prophet ﷺ wiped over his head, فَأَقْبَلَ بِيَدَيْهِ وَأَدْبَرَ. يعني he went forward and he went backwards. يعني here in this hadith, this particular narration, is not as detailed as another narration that came from him, said that he wiped over his head going forward and backwards. Meaning, any of the meaning of it, as it came in another narration, he went from the front of the head to the back and from the back to the head. This hadith is muttafaqun alayh. In another narration, yani, Al-Hafiz mentions another narration that's also muttafaqun alayh. Fi lafdhin lahuma, yani lil-Bukhari and Muslim, bada'a bi muqaddami ra'asihi, حتى ذهب بهما إلى قفاه ثم ردهما حتى رجع إلى المكان الذي بدأ منه. And in this narration, which is more detailed, is also recorded by Bukhari and Muslim from Abdul ibn Zayd, he said he began with the muqaddam of his head, meaning the first part, the beginning of his head, meaning the place where the head meets the face, the foreline. He began, يعني بِمُقَدَّمِ رَأْسِهِ. And then he wiped his hands until he reached with the two of them to his neck, قَفَاهُ. And then he returned them, يعني again from the back of the head to the front, حَتَّى رَجَعَ إِلَى الْمَكَانَ الَّذِي بَدَعَ بِهِ, until he returned to the place where he started from, the front of the head. And this is the detailed description of the wiping of the head of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. نعم. The next hadith, 33, is also important hadith in reference to our description of the wiping of the ears. That's the hadith of Abdul ibn Amr, radiallahu ta'ala anhuma, yani in his description of wudu. Al-Hafiz is mentioning the part of the hadith that he wants to, yani, use as a shahid. Because remember, Bulugh al-Maram is intended to be a mukhtasa of the hadith of ahkam. Yani mentioning the smaller hadith or the portions of hadith that are relevant to the hukm. So he's mentioning the parts of the hadith that are relevant to the hukm, and this particular hadith is in reference to the ears. Yani he mentions that ثم مسح صلى الله عليه وسلم برأسه فأدخل أصبعيه السباحتين في أذنيه ومسح بإبهاميه على ظاهر أذنيه. يعني this hadith is a clear indication that when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم wiped his head along with his head, he also put his four fingers into his ears, and with his thumbs he wiped the outer part of his ears. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawud and Nasa'i, and Ibn Khuzayma said that it is sahih. The next hadith, number 34, is a hadith which indicates actually the obligation of the nose. يعني from Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ إِذَا استيقظ أَحَدُكُمْ مِنْ مَنَامِهِ فليستنثر. فليستنثر يعني لام الأمر. يعني if any one of you wakes up from his sleep, then he must يعني clean the nose ثلاثا. فإن الشيطان يبيت على خيشومه, because indeed Shaitan spends the night in the inner part of his nose. Muttafaqun alayh. Some of the scholars use this hadith as a proof that the washing of the nose is obligatory, as opposed to some of the scholars in fiqh, and they say that it is sunnah. Hadith number 35. Now, yani it's in regards to waking up, yani that the Prophet ﷺ, when he used to wake up, he used to do this. Yani when you wake up from sleep, yani some scholars say when you wake up from sleep in the night, because he said yabitu, yani shaitan yabitu. But the correct view is that it doesn't matter, any time that a person has been sleeping, then they should rinse out their nose. And this is yani also yani shows the obligation of rinsing the nose. Shows the obligation of rinsing the nose. But it's in reference to sleep specifically. Person wakes up from sleep, they should clean out their nose.
What is meant by that?
Yani, the meaning, there's different opinions concerning this. I don't know, the Sheikh mentions concerning this. Shaitan yuhmal and yakuna ala haqiqatihi. Yani, this may be understood to mean in reality that the shaitan, yani, spends the night in the nose of the person. ويحتمل أن يكون على سبيل الاستعارة. يعني the Shaykh is saying that it's possible that the meaning can mean in reality the shaitan spends the night in the nose of that person, or it may be استعارة meaning figuratively speaking. Because of the filth and uncleanliness that may be in the nose of the person, and due to this, cause the person to be lazy, to be sluggish, and all of that. And this is in agreement with what Shaitan is pleased with from the human being. So there are two possible meanings, but in any case, yani both of them are equal. Yani, they both of them are equal. Yani, the Sheikh also mentioned the point. I don't want to read his commentary. I want you to go back and read it yourself. But he does. But since we started looking at it, let's take the benefit from this. The Shaykh says, والأمر المطلق الأمر المطلق بالاستنثار في هذا الحديث إما مقيد بوقت التوضع كما يفيده بعض الروايات فيكون من أفعال الوضوء وإما متروك على إطلاقه فيكون مقدمات الوضوء وعلى كلا التقديرين يصح إراد هذا الحديث في هذا الباب. يعني this important point. This is the kind of benefit that the Shaykh has mentioned here. May Allah have mercy upon him. This is a tremendous benefit here. The Shaykh is saying, and in reference to your question, your previous question, Shaykh is saying here that al-amr al-mutlaq bil-istinthar fi hadha al-hadith imma muqayyid biwaqt al-tawaddu kama yufiduhu ba'd al-riwayat. Yani that even though it doesn't mention this cleaning of the nose in reference to wudu, it doesn't mention wudu, it just mentioned cleaning the nose, mutlaqan. Even though it's mutlaq, in this hadith, it could be restricted and defined as meaning for wudu, because of it came in other narrations that this command to wash the nose, the command to wash the nose came in other narrations in reference to waking up to make wudu. So it could mean, yani even though it's mutlaq here, it could mean, because of the understanding we have from other narrations, that it means in reference to wudu, or it could mean, yani, that it's part of the actions of wudu, or it could mean, or we could leave it in the absolute sense without restricting it, in which case it would mean it's from the muqaddimat, the things that you do before making wudu. But it's still connected to wudu. In either case, however you want to understand it, he's saying that it's correct that it be mentioned here under the chapter of wudu. Yani, meaning Al-Hafiz ibn Hajj al-Asqalani mentioned it in Bab al-Wudu, because he's meaning that he's intending that the meaning here is that this obligation of cleaning the nose is part of wudu. But in any case, if we understand like that, the way he understood it, Hafiz, because he put it in the chapter of wudu, that this is related to wudu. Or even if we say that it's not specifically a part of wudu in that narration, but nonetheless it's from the muqaddimat, the things that precede al-wudu. What time is the iqama, ya Khalid? 450? 415. Oh, 415. MashaAllah. MashaAllah. طيب, let's finish. Okay, so this is, yani in other words, the Sheikh Safiur Rahman, he's saying that there are two possible ways you can understand. You can leave it mutlaq, that's not connected to wudu, in which case it means it's from what you should do before you make wudu. Or, as Hafiz understood it, and he placed it in the chapter of wudu, that it's intended, that it's part of wudu, because it came in some narrations, this command to do this when you wake up from sleep, it came in some narrations in reference to wudu specifically. So it can go either way. In any case, yani however we want to understand it, it's connected to wudu if it's not a part of wudu. Yani it's that which precedes the wudu. After that, yani he mentioned another hadith, number 35, it's in Bukhari and Muslim. If any one of you wakes up from sleep, don't put his hand into the container where the water is for wudu, but rather he should pour water on it, wash them first three times, because he doesn't know where his hand has spent the night, what it has been touching while you were sleeping. The next hadith, hadith number 36, from Laqit ibn Sabra, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, أَصْبِغْ الْوُضُوءُ وَخَلِّلْ بَيْنَ الْأَصَابِعِ وَبَالِغْ فِي الْإِسْتِنْشَاقِ إِلَّا أَن تَكُونَ صَائِمًا. Reported by the four, Sunan, and Ibn Khuzaym said that it's sahih. Yani the Prophet said, be thorough in performing your ablution, and خَلِّلْ بَيْنَ الْأَصَابِعِ. This is from the details of wudu that a person should rub between their fingers. And be in extreme, exaggerate in taking water in istinshaq, taking water into the nose unless you are fasting. In the narration of Abu Dawood, إِذَا تَوَضَّعَتَ فَمَضْمَضْ. Yani in the narration of Abu Dawood, it mentions also that when you make wudu, you must rinse the mouth. Yani in this narration, it talks about istinshaq, narrated by the four, Ibn Khuzaym said it's sahih. But in Abu Dawood's narration, it doesn't just command to rinse the nose, but it also commands to rinse the mouth. Hadith number 37 from Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, كان يخللو لحيته في الوضوء. And this is also an important point, yani in wudu, from the details of wudu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to rub his fingers or comb his fingers through his beard in wudu, reported by At-Tirmidhi, and Ibn Khuzaym said that it's sahih. In hadith number 38 from Abdul ibn Zayd radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, utiya bi thuluthay mud faja'ala yadluku dhira'ayhi. I wish Ibrahim was here because he asked about this hadith previously, other Ibrahim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was brought two thirds of a mud, not even one full mud, and he began to rub his forearms. Yani, because of what? Because of the small amount of water, to make sure that he got every place, so he rubbed it. And this is a sunnah, reported by Al-Imam Ahmed, and Ibn Khuzaymah said that it's sahih. Very important hadith now, hadith number 39, and he also from Abdul ibn Zayd, he said that he saw the Prophet ﷺ taking for his ears, ma'an khilaf al-ma' alladhi akhadahu li ra'sihi. Be careful here, right? He saw him taking water for his ears, other than the water that he had taken for his head. Meaning what? That he took water to wipe his head, and then he took water, new water, to wipe his ears. This narration is reported by Al-Bayhaqi, وَقَالَ إِسْنَادُهُ صَحِيح وَصَحَّحَهُ التِّرْمِذِي أَيْدًا. But in the narration of this hadith from Ibn Zayd from Muslim, وَعِنْدَ مُسْلِمْ مِنْ هَذَا الْوَجْ, same isnad, it has the wording, وَمَسَحَ بِرَأْسِهِ بِمَاءٍ غَيْرِ فَضْلَ يَدَيْهِ وَهُوَ الْمَحْفُوظِ. Sheikh Al-Hafiz Ibn Hajj Al-Asqalani says, after mentioning that hadith, and saying it's reported by Bayhaqi, and Bayhaqi saying that it's sahih, and At-Tirmidhi also said it's sahih, that's what Hafiz says. He said, after that, he narrates the same hadith with the same isnad, but reported by Imam Muslim. In his narration, it said he wiped his head with water other than the fadlu of yadehi, yani the water that was left over from washing his hands. Meaning, he used water to wash his hands, the water was left, he didn't wipe his head with that. He took new water to wipe his head. So here, in the narration of Muslim, the distinction here, which is a very important distinction, In the narration of Bayhaqi, he has him taking new water to wipe the ears, other than the water left from the head. In the narration of Muslim, he took new water to wipe the head, other than the water he used to wipe his hands. Meaning he used water to wipe his hands, if there was water left, he didn't wipe his head with that. He took water to wipe his head, and the same water he used to wipe his ears. In the narration of Bayhaqi, he took new water to wipe his ears, which is not correct. I hope that it's clear. In other words, the correct narration is the narration of Imam Muslim, which Al-Hafiz says, Huwa al-Mahfuz. Mahfuz is the opposite of Shaz. So him saying this narration of Muslim is Mahfuz, he's saying the narration of Bayhaqi is Shaz. Shaz means a hadith that isnad appears to be correct, but is contradicted by that which is more authentic than it, that is the narration of Imam Muslim. So it's not correct to take new water to wipe the ears, rather it's correct to take new water to wipe the head and use the same water that you wipe the head with to wipe the ears. Huh? Yeah, I mean, shaz means strange or odd or something, but the technical meaning of shaz means a hadith that's weak, although it appears to be authentic because it's contradicted by that which is more authentic than it. And it's contradicted by a hadith that is more authentic. So the hadith of Imam Muslim, yani, rejects the hadith of Bayhaqi because the meaning is contradictory. The mahfuz is the one that is correct, and the shaz is the one that is weak. Even though both of them appear to be sahih.
Yani,
there could be some other reason, but the point is, the one that's more authentic, it might be authentic for different reasons. Yani, there may be a number of different reasons why it might be more authentic, but in any case, the point is that one is more authentic than the other, and therefore the one that's less authentic is rejected. Is rejected because the other one contradicts it. That's more authentic than it. After this, hadith number 40. And we have still a few hadith remaining. Hadith number 40 is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. He said, I heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, yani, that my ummah will come on yawmul qiyamah gurran, yani, with glitter, yani, light glittering on their faces, muhajjaleena, yani, the glittering on their hands and their feet, min athar al-wudu, from the effects of wudu. Yani, there will be light, there will be brightness, glittering, sparkling in their faces and in their hands and in their feet. فَمَنَ اسْتَطَاعَ مِنْكُمْ أَنْ يُطِيلَ قُرَّتَهُ فَلْيَفْعَلْ. So whoever from amongst you is able, yani, to, yani, lengthen, increase, yani, this glittering in the faces and the hands, then he should do so. مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ وَاللَّهُ لِلْمُسْلِمِ. Yani, mean it should do it thoroughly. You should do it thoroughly. Now, it doesn't mean that as in the narration of Abu Hurairah, and somebody was behind him, and they asked him about him wiping up to his shoulders. And he said, oh, I didn't know somebody was there. If I'd known you were there, I wouldn't have done this. Meaning that was something, his understanding of it, and the scholars reject it, that was his understanding of extending the wudu beyond that which is legislated in the sunnah. And that's not correct. Rather, the correct meaning is to do it thoroughly. Wallahu a'lam. After that, the hadith of Aisha that we took in one of our classes, hadith number 41, that the Prophet loved to begin things with the right, in putting on his shoes, in combing his hair, and in all of his matters of purification, rather in all of his affairs, muttafaqun alayh. Hadith number 42, from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, and the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا تَوَضَّعْتُمْ فَابْدَعُوا بِيَمَيَامِنِكُمْ. Yani, then if you make ablution, then begin with your right sides. Begin with your right side. Yani, do the right first, and then the left. Mayamin. Mayamin. Naam. Yani, the plural of? Maymana. Maymana. Naam. Also, same meaning, right and left. Naam. But the point here is what? That you should begin with the right. Hadith number 43 from Mughayra ibn Shubar radiallahu anhu and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. توضأ فمسح بناصيته وعلى العمامة والخفين أو خفين أخرجه مسلم. يعني that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم made ablution and he wiped over his forelock and his imama, his turban, and his two leather socks. يعني the meaning here is that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم wiped over part of his head and the rest of the wiping was over his imama, and he also wiped over his khufs. And in another narration of Mughayra, the Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih that we read last week in reference to al-mas, and he wiped over his jawrabain, his regular socks. Naam. It's permissible to wipe over regular socks. Naam.
He said that he wiped over his regular socks, not just the leather one. And he stated in the hadith that he wiped over the umama while wiping over his nasi hadith. Is there any scholarly commentary to translate to someone wearing a fitted hat, say maybe in the winter someplace, you know, they have to make wudu outside, like a fitted beanie or something like that covering the head.
I don't know what you mean by fitted.
Yeah, the umama is wrapped on, like a wool hat.
Yeah,
like a hat that is fitting your head,
yeah. No, the Sheikh Al Uthaymeen discusses this in a lot of detail. The summary of it, right, for the sake of time, we can look at it again in the future in detail, but for the, in summary of it, for the sake of time, is that he said, if the person is wearing something, he's talking about Yani the khimar of the woman, for example. If they're wearing something that's difficult for them to take off and to put back on, then they may wipe over it. Otherwise, it should be taken off. And the original rule should be taken off. If somebody has some kind of a hat that's easy to take off, then they can't wipe over it. Yani the imamah is difficult to take off and put back on again, and that's why it's permissible to wipe over it.
In the state of difficulty, maybe even harm. For wiping the head in cold weather, for example.
Yeah, in case of harm, fear of real danger, then you don't have to wash. You don't have to use water. Yeah, you can make tayammum. And the man who he had a wound on his head, right, and he wanted to just wipe over, they told him, no, you have to wash it, and he died.
Yeah.
And they told him it was sufficient that he just had just wiped. He didn't have to wash it. So yeah, if there's reason to. Really serious reason to believe that a person is going to cause harm to themselves, severe danger, and he's going to be detrimental to them, cause harm to them, then there's no harm. This is a long discussion that probably we're going to come to at some point. We might come to it and discuss it a little bit of detail. We have a lot of hadith to cover, and he's still remaining about at least 6 or 7 or 8 hadith left. Yeah. Yeah, قاتلكم الله يعني you have killed, may Allah kill you, meaning may Allah punish you because what you have killed him, يعني you caused him to be killed. The cure for ignorance is to ask, meaning somebody should have asked. Who didn't know, they should ask the person who knows. Instead of making rulings, telling somebody you should do this and you do that and you don't know what you're talking about, person should ask. In any case, يعني okay, after that, hadith number 44 from Jabir ibn Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, in his description of Hajj, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this also used as a proof. It's in reference to something else. But this is from the methodology of the scholars, that sometimes they use something that's related to something else, and by qiyas they relate it to a different matter. So this is in reference to Hajj. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ibda'u bima bada Allah bihi, begin with what Allah began with. That's in reference to what? As-Safa wal-Marwa. And he goes between Safa and Marwa. Inna as-Safa wal-Marwa ta. Allah began with Safa. So the Prophet said, begin with that which Allah began with. In the ayat, he began with Safa. So start the sa'i as Safa and then go to Marwa. Al-Hafiz ibn Hajar al-Asqalani used this hadith as a proof for beginning with the right hand and right foot and wudu as Allah began with. Hadith number 45 is a weak hadith reported by Ad-Darqutni with Isnad Da'if. Al-Hafiz says, the Prophet used to make wudu wa adhara al-ma' ala mirfaqihi, and he used to rub the water around his elbow, yani to make sure he covered it. Hadith is weak. Hadith number 46, 7 and 8 from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, la wudu'a liman lam yadhkur ismu Allah alayhi, there's no ablution for the one who doesn't mention the name of Allah upon it. Yani this hadith is reported by Ahmed, Abu Dawud and Ibn Majah bi isnadin da'if wa tirmidhi an Sayyid ibn Zayd wa Abi Sa'id nahuhu, and it also came with a narration from the other companions radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. And Ahmed said, la yuthbat fihi shay'un, that there's nothing that's confirmed in reference to this. This is a hadith about which there's some difference of opinion. Shaykh al-Albani has a lengthy discussion about it, and he said the hadith is hasan, yani in Sahih Ibn Majah, hadith number 320. In hadith number 49, Yani these are three narrations. Yani the narration of Abu Hurairah, the narration of Sa'id ibn Zayd, and the haditha, and the narration of Abu Sa'id. Yani Al-Hafidh mentions three of them together, and he says that the isnads are da'if. 49, on Talha ibn Musarraf, from Abi, from Jaddihi, said, I saw the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yafsul bayna al-madmada wal-istinshaq. Yani separating between the washing of the mouth and the nose. Akhrajahu Abu Dawud bi isnadin da'if. We already mentioned a narration concerning this separation between the mouth and the nose that Shaykh al-Albani said is sahih. Hadith number 50 from Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu in his description of wudu. Thumma tamadmada sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mustanthara thalathan. Yani he washed the mouth and the nose three times. Yani min kaf alladhi ya'khudh minha al-ma. Yani from one hand. Yani meaning that he did the mouth and the nose from one hand. Then the hadith of Abu Lu ibn Zayd in his description of wudu, he said that the Prophet ﷺ put his hand, yani in the container, and washed his mouth and rinsed his nose min kaffin wahidatin, from one palm, and he did this three times. Muttafaqun alayh. And there are a lot of narrations like this. Then the hadith of Anas, yani where the Prophet ﷺ saw a man leaving something in the washing of the foot, a small mouth. He said, Iruji fa ahsan wudu'a. Go back and perform your ablution well, reported by Abu Dawud and Nasa'i. And also from him is another narration that the Prophet used to make ablution with a mud, and he used to make a ghusl with a sa'a. Yani muttafaqun alayh. In the hadith of Umar, and this is the last hadith here, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma minkum min ahadin yatawadda, fayusbighu alwudu, thumma yakulu ashadu an la ilaha illallah, wahdahu la sharika la. وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله إلا فتحت له أبواب الجنة أخرجه مسلم والترمذي وزاد يعني الترمذي also added to the words اللهم اجعلني من التوابين واجعلني من المتطهرين. يعني this is the closing hadith that Al-Hafiz mentions here in this chapter of wudu, that there's no one of you who performs ablution and performs it well, and then after that he says يعني أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله, except that the doors of paradise will be open for him. In the narration, this is reported by Al-Imam Muslim and At-Tirmidhi. In Tirmidhi narration, he also included Allahumma ij'alni min at-tawwabin waj'alni min at-tahirin, yani O Allah, make me of those who are frequent in repenting and make me of those who are frequent in purification. This is the end of what yani we wanted to cover concerning this topic for today. Na'am ya Ibrahim. That was the opinion of Shaykh al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah. He said that it shouldn't be done if there's no difficulty. Yeah, and if there's no difficulty, the person should wipe over their head.
In regards when we approach
Naam.
It was four difficulties, not because of the umam, because of the difficulty of the umam taking it on and off. And this is an opinion. Yani, so for us, when we look at hadith or things like this, when we try to find an opinion, or when we speaking to people, yani, should we?
Should we look at the reason for it? No. We should look at the reason, of course, because knowing the reason will enable a person to use that same illah in another matter. If they can understand why this is prohibited, why this is obligatory, why this is disliked, then we can look at that and use it in other matters. But it doesn't mean that that's absolute. It means that that also should be considered. But what is obvious is what we should start with. And then as far as what's the reasoning behind it, if it's clear, then also that can be used for qiyas. Wallahu a'lam. Naam. No.
We use the sink here. We don't count. Like we put our feet on the sink. Wash it thoroughly. Is that mazid or is that overdoing it? Is it
to put your foot in the sink?
Sink, yeah, we don't count. Like if it's three times. One time is the wide, but three times is
the water coming from the top, you can't count.
We don't count.
We can count it. We can count it. If you put your foot under the water and you wash your feet thoroughly, completely one time, and then do it again two times, and then do it again, yeah, you can count. Yeah. In any case, the point is, right, the washing should be thorough. If a person does it one time, it's sufficient. Ajza. If he did it three times, then this is akmal wa afdal. Wallahu a'lam. We're going to stop here, inshallah. It's almost time for the iqamah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.